hope is a quiet refusal to not give up on God and his protection and his plans and his goodness, and that there is that sense of like, I've got this.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 11.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and we are so glad that you've joined us. Well, it seems to me that the conversations that keep coming up everywhere I go are about resilience, grit, and persevering through difficult times. Look at what's happening in the world today. Our economic situation, caring for our elderly parents, parenting adult children, our changing bodies and health, losing loved ones, new seasons, and the list goes on. So this season, we've really leaned into resilience. What does it look like, and how can we be more resilient? And this verse has been our anchor to help us through that. It comes from Romans 5, 3 to 5. It says this: we also celebrate in seasons of suffering because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance, which shapes our characters. And when our characters are refined, we learn what it means to hope and anticipate God's goodness. And hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need because the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love. And to walk us through the verse and encourage us in our resilience journey, Helen Sinnight and Nicole, welcome. Helen, pastor, international speaker, mentor to the next generation, all the way from British Columbia. Thank you for coming all this way to be with us.
Pure joy. So glad to be here.
Thank you. And Sinnight Litchmore, registered psychotherapist, author, and national speaker.
Thank you.
Welcome. And Nicole Langman, award-winning author, international speaker, and Christian therapist.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go. Let's dive in. Let's unpack this scripture, this anchor scripture, as it pertains to resilience. So, Nicole, let's start with you. It's resilience through seasons of suffering.
Yeah. In fact, we can't have resilience without suffering. And so if we want to develop this really beautiful thing of resilience that we're going to talk about today, we have to spend time in the valley. That's where resilience is forged. So the only time we can adapt, grow, bounce back from, heal from something is when there's something that has harmed us. Historically, I think we've really just identified, we've limited this idea of resilience to this idea that it is just about bounce back and being able to adapt to adversity. But what we know now is that actually resilience is deeper than that. It goes deeper in that resilience is about being transformed by what happens to us.
Wow. That's good.
And allowing it to grow us, to build us as courageous people, as stronger people, as wiser people, as more empathetic people. So the transformation piece, resilience looks like transformation to the positive. So we can be bitter or better. Resilience is the better side of the scale, right? Resilience is the growth. It's hard growth, but any hard growth comes. Any growth is real growth is worth it. Is hard.
Yep. Definitely.
And that seems so counter and countercultural because we don't want to suffer. We don't want the pain. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to face it. And yet you're saying it's critical. It's actually important for our own growth journey and becoming.
You know, I read a scripture, this is years ago when I was in my own valley, where I read a tree is best measured when it's down. And that just like has stuck with me forever, is a tree is best measured when it's down. And that is actually when we see, in so many ways, what people are made of, right? Is around, okay, like things are not going as you had hoped that they would. There's disappointment, there's upset. In my own life, places where I learned resilient was, and as my story goes, that my husband of almost 20 years walked away from our relationship, built a life outside of our family, and that threw me face down into the deepest valley of my life. And it was in that valley that I cried out to God, and I was confused, I was in shock, I was overwhelmed, I didn't know what to do. But it was in the valley, because that's where the richest soil is. I often say the valley is God's best workbench. And that is when he moved in on me, and that's where the resilience piece started to show up for me, is around, okay, what do I need to do in order to access healing? What do I need to grow to do to grow through this, as opposed to be held back by it, become bitter, resentful, angry. I was allowed to do the healing. I let myself do the grieving and the sorrow, and I'm still grieving, as you know, we grieve these things. But the resilience piece is around, okay, not why me, God, but okay, God, now what? Now what? The moving forward. Resilience isn't just about bounce back. It's about being transformed.
in the verse, it says, we also celebrate in seasons of suffering because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance. We also celebrate. Seasons of suffering? We celebrate? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're saying. It's like we celebrate in these seasons of suffering. Have you celebrated
suffering? It's so closely connected to, in James, it says, count it all joy. Yeah. Like, count it all joy when you go through these things, right. Knowing that this is what it's going to produce. Mm-hmm. And so this is an invitation. Holy Spirit is inviting us into these places. And like you say, the grief is still there. You never really get over it.
Right. Yeah.
But you get through it. And there's a big difference. Right. And it's how you come through it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I had to learn. I remember hearing that. And I'm going to just shout out Ann Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts, how she actually talked about enumerating, count it all, and start writing up the things you're thankful for and what you're learning. Because it is in the valley, the beautiful lessons we're learning, the intimacy we discover with God, because you can't do this on your own. And if you try, you're not going to get through it. Right. And so I have learned how. I don't love it, but I have learned how to see God, what can I learn rather than just curse it?
Yes.
What can I do to grow through it?
Yes. Yeah. And I love that you brought up intimacy, because when I think of past sufferings that I've experienced, I don't know if I can ever celebrate the valleys that I've been in, but what I can celebrate is the intimacy. What I can celebrate is how near God was and just how that marked me and how that produced something in me that maybe no other experience could have done. And so when I think of that, I'm like, okay, well, I can count that part as joy. And that part where we know, like, I am so dependent on God because I know when I was in the valley, He was there. And there was no way I could have come out on the other side if I wasn't clinging onto Him. So I think that's the part that we celebrate.
Yeah, we can celebrate that. That's definitely joy worthy. And the gratitude piece, so from a cognitive behavior therapy perspective, what we think about is going to inform how we feel, and what we feel informs how we behave. So if I am focused on the sorrow, the suffering, the injustice, the loss, whatever it might be, then I'm going to feel that. Mm-hmm. But if I am switching my gaze to gratitude, if I'm switching my gaze to not just the suffering exists, but also what also exists, because both can be true at the same time, sorrow and joy can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
So if I shift my gaze to what is joy-filled, joyful, what God has done, and gratitude is an incredibly important gift to us, that we can say, I'm really grateful for some things, and here they are. I'm going to count them all joy, like you said about Anne's book.
Mm-hmm.
When my mom was turning 70, I was going through this very deep, dark season of my life where I was having panic. And I would sit down and I wrote this journal out to my mom for her 70th birthday. And all of the things I was grateful for, all of the memories that I had of her, all of this, the words to songs that she would sing in the kitchen. And I would just write that out. And the panic and the sorrow and the suffering would shrink when I was engaging in gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. And gratitude facilitates resilience. It's essential for resilience.
Beautiful. So beautiful. Sanai, resilience through endurance. Now, it sounds like the same, but it's it's not in the way of that resilience through endurance. When we endure, it grows and builds our resilience.
Yeah. So I'm going to lighten up the conversation a little bit.
All right.
So I love my spinning class, okay? Like, I go every Monday to my spinning class, and I love bike riding. And so I'll never forget the first time I went to spinning class, I thought I was going to kill it because I'm like, I love bike riding. Let me tell you, like 5-10 minutes in, I was fighting for my life. Everyone was so coordinated. They were like moving at the exact same time. I'm like, I couldn't breathe. I'm like, how will I ever get through this class?
Yeah.
But now, over a year later, I'm just like everyone else. Like, and that's what endurance is in a practical sense. Is
so
like
good.
I didn't kill myself. I didn't overextend myself. You know, I took breaks. I paused. I recognized my limitations in that moment, but I didn't stop going. And that built my endurance. But I think the biggest difference with suffering is that we don't know what's on the other side. Whereas in my spin class, I knew that the other side was joy. The other side was finishing this class while not falling on the ground or dying, right? Like, I knew what was on the other side with that. So it was easier to endure. But suffering is harder to endure sometimes mm-hmm. because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the end looks like. We don't know what parts God is going to mend together and what parts are not going to be mended together.
Or for how long you have to suffer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that unknown makes it very challenging. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes there's so many, there's an inclination inside of us to escape, to run away. Mm-hmm. We just want it to end because it's so painful.
And hard, yeah.
But that's literally how our body develops muscle, right? The mm-hmm. muscle breaks down and then it repairs itself and it gets stronger, right? God is the repairer, but he's also created us to be repairers, our bodies, our minds, to repair itself, right? So we have to really, that's the hardest thing about suffering. And suffering mm-hmm. is not staying in abuse. If you're in an abusive situation, like leave, you don't have to endure a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. But there are many sufferings that we can escape, mm-hmm. you know, that are part of our story. Mm-hmm. And so we can't cling on what we think will happen. We gotta cling to Jesus. Yeah. Like we have to anchor ourselves in him, because then he gets the glory whether we're on the other side or not, because we know we are on the other side with him spiritually, and that should be enough to anchor us.
And I think endurance, we don't use that word enough in culture. No. Like endurance, enduring, that sort of perseverance, even beyond. Like enduring to me, it's like we have perseverance, we have grit, we've got resilience, mm-hmm. and then endurance is enduring through,
mm-hmm.
enduring the discomfort. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's something too, like culturally, it's we've kind of sanitized things where it's quick. Mm-hmm. You get things quick and easy, mm-hmm. find the easy way. Mm-hmm. But in so much of my own life, if I'm going to talk personally, so much of where I came from, came through, got where I am, is enduring through the learnings, the hard things, the loss, the abandonment, the working hard to get where we are. It's mm-hmm. it's the enduring through it, because mm-hmm. I did believe that it was shaping my character, but it was also the journey with God. I really felt. I felt God was just like, this is how I'm going to create you and becoming more of the woman that you need to be. Mm-hmm. Endurance, doing the hard things, the behind the scene things, the no glory things is part of the journey of life
and the growth
and the growth and the enduring of it. So I think that's so much in that, is that we develop endurance. That's how when we develop endurance, we're developing that resilience, that mm-hmm. muscle mm-hmm. to keep going. So when the next hard thing comes, because we know it's going to happen, mm-hmm. it may be easier. Yeah. It may be we have the tools and things to say we can get through, mm-hmm. you know, the next.
But even when you touch on the culture, I think because we have privilege, you know, a lot of us have agency more than other people. And so sometimes we can avoid challenges, you know, we can avoid discomfort because we have a lot of choices. And I think that's where we kind of prevent ourselves from that character development.
Yeah.
Because we just don't want to suffer.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Endurance does create character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we know. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it ever? I think that one of the things in our culture too, we are so, I love what you said about like in a spin class, you know, it's going to be over. You're going to feel stronger for it. Yeah, and then a year later, you're like, you're rocking it. You can teach them how to spin now. And so, but I think that life is not, we don't know the outcomes.
Yeah.
We think if I do this and I get this outcome, then I'm willing to endure, or I'm willing to develop the resilience, not knowing that we don't always have all of the outcomes. Like if I'll do this and fight through a hard marriage, if I know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever get that in life.
Nope.
That so much is it, you don't get to decide how this is all going to turn out.
Right.
There's a lot of trust in God, and especially when people have disappointed us. And so often we're not willing to develop that simply because if I don't know I get the outcome I want, I'm not going to do it. We bow out, we run.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't show us all the time. He knows he's good. He knows he tells us he's good and he's faithful, but we have to trust it with his outcome, not ours.
But isn't that faith? This is what I always say, but like the whole part about like following Jesus, when I decide to follow Jesus, that's the faith part. Faith.
It
means that we don't know everything. We're not going to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the faith and trusting that the promises that he says, that he is good, that he is with us, that he, you know, he is our shepherd, all of these things. And again, the faith element, I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but the faith element part is also a challenge for us. People I don't know if they're really like digging into faith.
Yeah.
I really put faith in God that this is going to happen, or if it doesn't happen, I still will trust him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, mm-hmm. really key in that. Mm-hmm. Let's go to resilience shapes our character. And Helen, I mean, of one who can mentor us in the years of what you have learned with life with Jesus, I think that's a mm-hmm. key one, that resilience shapes our character, who we are.
Character is such a beautiful word to mm-hmm. me, because I think if there's anything, when it's all said and done, we want to be known for having a godly character. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably get it wrong, but I believe it's the Greek word. It talks about what it really literally means. Character is etched. It's like a character, like an engraving, right? Like a character, like a letter, but it's engraved, but it's something that's engraved. It's not seen visibly on the mm-hmm. surface, but it's something like, I would think if you're going to date someone, you want to date someone with character, mm-hmm. but you don't know on the surface. He may be cute and he has a nice car and he even has some money in the bank, but what's his character like? It takes time to develop and to discover what that is. And I think for us, it is that character is being etched on our heart. So every time we pass a test, if you will, that pushes us, you know, going through whatever we have to go through, whether it's learning how to spin or learning how to forgive or learning how to trust. It's all a part of developing the character. And that is what actually is going to sustain us. And it's the character of God that I want etched on my heart, like a tattoo that's not going to leave. It is something that is there and it's developed by God. And I think about people that I really respect and I honor that have shaped my life. It's people that went through tough stuff and didn't come out smelling of smoke, as you know, that they actually, they go through the fire, but they don't come out, you know, jaded and bitter and hurt. And I think of, like, say, I think of my grandparents who went through a horrible situation when they were going through escaping a horrible regime. Mm-hmm. But when I think about the language of how they spoke about God, it was not, and we had to, you know, it was even not angry against people that had maybe hurt them. They saw the greatness of God. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I want to have my voice say, that God is good and God is big. Make God bigger than the challenge. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we don't go through a valley. And like you say, it's the best way to grow and learn.
Yeah.
But that is what's going to shape our character. And it's done repetitively. Mm-hmm. It's done consistently. Mm-hmm. It's done faithfully. Mm-hmm. Our eyes on Jesus. And I think that's where resilience comes from. Mm-hmm. You need a good test or two to know what you're made of. You don't really actually even know how strong you are or how great your faith is developing until you've had a test or two. Same with a relationship. Mm-hmm. A relationship that hasn't been tested can't be trusted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Same with God.
Right. So let's talk about this. Good. Let's talk, Nicole, tonight too. Mm-hmm. What has been a time where something that's challenged you in your character that you're like tested with?
Okay.
But through that, it's like resilience, right? Like resilience develops your character and who you are.
Mm.
Has there been a time, a moment, a situation where you're like, oh, I was tested in that, and I came out, and here I am?
Well, I just go back to that that season in that valley for me was pivotal in my relationship with Jesus. It was pivotal in terms of my own capacity and you know, people who have gone through the fire and they don't come out smelling like smoke, I love that. And the second part of that is, and then they carry buckets of water for those who are still in the flames.
Oh, good.
And that piece for me, that's the piece for me, is around how can I come out not smelling like smoke and carry buckets back for those who are in the flames.
So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me it's, I think social justice was almost like a means or a justification for me to be upset or angry with the system, whether it's the church or whatever, right? And I think I leaned into that and I owned that for a while. But God had to take me to a place where I had to forgive people that I felt like wronged a lot of people, that I felt like really betrayed people, whether it was within the church, the body of Christ. But I had to do that in order for me and God to be okay, right? And I think that was a huge journey for me, and that helped me develop characteristics like humility, you know, forgiveness, being slow to speak. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen overnight. I think if it happened overnight, it would probably would have been more superficial. Mm. And I really had to lay down this identity of being the social justice warrior to, like, I have to be a daughter of the king, right? And I have to recognize who is actually my protector and who's actually my fighter. And I don't have to fight every battle. I don't have to bring justice to every single person. And that was a long road of character development that had to be a long road, because mm-hmm. that identity and that way of living was so embedded in who I was that it needed some time to kind of refine and for that transformation to occur. But don't get me wrong, like, I'm still a social justice activist, but it's refined, right, and sanctified.
I get that. So suffering, right? So the suffering develops our resilience, and I get that. I mean, lots of suffering in so many different ways, outwardly and inwardly. My own things, and like over the years I have shared, like, I mean, the just my choices of wanting to be seen, and so making really poor choices for myself and the relationships I got into, you know, as a teenager trying to take my own life because it felt just the end of it, to, you know, abusive relationships because I longed so much to belong and to be loved, to a deep depression, to a public divorce, to so many different things. Yeah. And so I'm like, God, there's suffering. It's like, and you're not the same Melinda that you were when you were 16, that you are today. And in that develops empathy for others going through the same thing. And that part then kind of has helped me in that resilience to say, I want to keep going because I want to share more of my story with others. Bring that bucket of water.
Bring
that. Right? And so then with resilience comes endurance, because there's a part of that where it's like, oh, the endurance of, you know, if I can keep going, you know, that the endurance helps me to be resilient, and I can overcome other moments. And then our character. All of us women, we're not the same women that we were before. And that's because of being resilient and pushing through and getting through. And for some of us, we're still in some things. I don't want to always be on the other side, because we're still in things. But I think in scriptures and community and the things I've learned, I am able to be more resilient now because of that. And I think that's really key in the character. And I hope I am more of who God has created me to be, more that he's cheering me on to be the woman that he sees me as and becoming. And I'm gracious too, because I'm not always perfect in that space. Yeah. But I think that's why, like, this verse is so important, has been important to me, to say that's sort of like a marker of, like, the suffering, the endurance, the character, how am I going? And so I think it's hard. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to persevere all the time. I'm tired. But there is something about, we need it more and more in today, to be resilient, to leave legacy, to be a mentor and example to others, right? So I think that is really key. But so much more to talk about. But when we come back, we're going to share our final thoughts on what it means to hope. Stay with us. See Here Love is more than just a show.
This is the most diverse and inclusive women's show in Canada. You sought to make this space reflective of the kingdom of God.
Donate so we can keep creating inspiring content, host meaningful events, and expand our reach.
If you look around this table, you see so many skin colors, you see so many different age groups, and I think that's so beautiful.
Your support is vital to the continued growth and impact of See Here Love. Visit seeherelove.com/donate.
Are you ready to see God's faithfulness, hear his truth, and love like Jesus? Download your free See Here Love Bible study guides, created for women who long to grow deeper in faith, identity, and purpose. With a variety of inspiring guides to choose from, you'll find real stories, honest conversations, and biblical truth that speaks to your heart. Perfect for personal study or gathering with your small group. Visit seeherelove.com/Bible studies to download today.
Join the host of See Here Love, Melinda Estabrooks, as she invites women from across Canada to share their stories and lived experiences, their journeys of faith, their challenges, and wisdom, and to create a place of belonging, community, and where women come together to know they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
Every one of you here is just like a miracle.
It's so important to be with people that encourage you.
Visit our website at seeherelove.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for even more content.
Well, we're back, and we're going to be talking about what it means to to hope. Let me do the last part of the verse. When our characters are refined, we learn what it means to hope and anticipate God's goodness. And hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need because the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love. Mm-hmm. Hope.
Beautiful.
So we're looking at the wonder of resilience. Mm-hmm. And now it's what it means to hope through it all.
Mm-hmm. I think it's such a testimony. That is who we are. We're to be bright light shining in this world that is so dark and has lost hope. Yeah. And I feel so encouraged when I see somebody else that has gone through something big, put their faith in God, and they've come through. You said it earlier, that we can go through hard things and like hope at the same time and have joy and suffering at the same time and realize that this is not the end of the story. There is always hope. And I love how it says, God's not going to disappoint us.
Right.
He's going to show up for us.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to keep dreaming and keep hoping and know that there may be a battle ahead, but we'll get through it. We'll all be better for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so hopeful.
Yeah.
I think to that woman that watches this episode and feels like, oh, I need to do more to be resilient. Mm-hmm. I need to do more to be stronger, to withstand the suffering that I'm in. I want to just remind her that she doesn't have to do more, that she can anchor herself in the hope of our salvation, that God is her strength. You know, God wants to be everything to us, and that resilience doesn't have to lie in ourselves. That resilience is more in our ability to have faith, our ability to have trust, even when we don't know what's on the other side, that ability to like persevere while remaining kind of connected to the vine, because we know that it's only through him. And we've developed this like desperation where it's like, I am so desperate, Lord, to be with you. I need you so badly. And that's kind of where we need to be rooted. And the hope needs to be in Jesus and not in ourselves, not in what we know or not in what we can, you know, predict on the other side.
Good. Hope beautiful. In Jesus. Yeah. Beautiful.
Powerful. It is beautiful. And we know that hope is not just wishful thinking.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Hope is a quiet refusal to not give up on God and his protection and his plans and his goodness, and that there is that sense of like, I've got this. And when you have a strong parent figure, it's easy to see God as this good, benevolent, loving, just, kind God. But when you have a situation where, and I do, I have a great dad, but a lot of people that I work with don't. Mm-hmm. And the struggle for them is, how do I have a hope in a God when I see him as angry or distant or disinterested? And in every way, I just want to remind us, myself, women watching, that we cannot compare God up against anybody else. Mm-hmm. He stands above. He's a perfect parent.
Yep.
And we can choose to trust him. We can choose to hope in him. We can choose to know that he's got goodness in store for us. Mm. He's not represented well by human people a lot of the time, but he is good and he has good plans.
And your beautiful thoughts, how that encourages me, and I know the people listening and watching, to be resilient. Mm. We can be resilient. We can get through hard things because of this hope we have, this God who is with us, for us, who loves us, who knows us. Mm. That is how this wonder of resilience can happen, how you can be resilient through hard things. So it's really beautiful, because I think in a time now, it's so hard to be resilient. There's so much opposition against us. But this verse in Romans, you know, 5:3-5, I think we just need to dig in, read it again, and be encouraged. Suffering, right? Like, suffering is part of, you know, of resilience, and resilience in endurance, and endurance in our character, and what it means to hope through it. So thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Thank you
for your thoughts. And you inspire me to keep going and to be resilient. And I hope that we do the same for you. Mm-hmm. We'll be cheering you on, championing you in all that you do.
Likewise.
So thank you, Helen, Sunit, Nicole, for being here and for your thoughts on resilience. And thank you for being with us too, for all the information that you want to know about our show, about our events, our Bible studies, our free Bible study downloads, our resources to watch our past shows and ways to join our community. It's all on seehearlove.com. And to download our free Bible study guides, seehearlove.com/Bible study, to learn more about women in the Bible who were resilient and strong and persevered. Mm. Follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes clips and daily inspiration. And if you need prayer to help you become resilient, please call our 24/7 prayer line at 1-866-273-4444, and someone will be there to listen and pray with you to help you be strong, have faith in God and know that you are not alone. And to you, our friend, your suffering is not wasted. Through it, God is building endurance in you. And through endurance, he is shaping your character. And through character, he is awakening a deep and lasting hope. This is the wonder of resilience. So keep going, keep going. And always know, as you do, you are seen, you are heard, and you are so deeply loved by God. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.